This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good morning. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 250 of Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them. And we are recording live from the Vendor Hall here at the Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center for the 2019 Navigator Conference. I have to say right off the bat, thank you so much to the IAD for presenting and hosting the podcast once again here. This is our third year here, and it has been such a good time already. Always a great conference to come, a lot of great sessions, networking, everything. And they have hooked me up right in the front with a premium spot in the vendor hall right behind Motorola. Thank you again very much to the IAD for hooking us up here at the conference. I can't thank you enough. Also, this episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. And we're going to jump right in because this is a very special moment for me, and I am very happy to be doing this. This epic episode 250 is with a former coworker, a childhood friend, and I mean, we went to high school together, just everything. She is the training coordinator with Allegan County Central Dispatch, where I hail from, and her name is Megan. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I am doing all right. And this, I'm so excited to finally have you on here. Now, we got here yesterday in the afternoon, and we're looking for each other in the airport. And I kept thinking, okay, so when I first got off the plane, actually, I was looking for where my luggage was going to be coming out of. I saw the first two baggage claim sections that said Delta, but it didn't say anything about my airline. So my flight number. So I kept walking, and I walked all the way down to like 12, which is pretty far. And you flew on American.
Yes.
And so I went down there and I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll see her over here or something. Then I didn't see you at all. and other dispatchers who were from Calhoun County came on the same plane as you. So then I went all the way down and finally found my luggage. And then I'm looking for you and you're like, I'm upstairs. but then finally I got a hold of you. So where are you standing by? So, turn around. There we are. So finally here we have you. And again, I'm so happy because, you know, a lot of people don't know this. And because of, you know, us, that, you know, years later from us being childhood friends and everything, that we would end up working together in dispatch. And if I remember correctly, when I got hired, they kept telling you that there was a Ricardo who was coming in. And what did you say?
I said, I have no idea who Ricardo is.
and it was funny to me because the way they were saying it, that, you know, they kept saying, well, he knows who you are. He doesn't know you by your married name, but he knows you by your maiden name. So he knows who you are. You went to Finnville, and you're like, oh, well, I know
Rich.
Yeah. I know Rich, but I don't know who Ricardo is.
Right.
Like, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I was not very pleased when they said that someone had used my name, and I had no idea who it was.
Yeah, and, you know, it was funny because I saw you, I think I saw you about a month before I had applied there or something. I don't remember what store it was, but I remember I saw you, and then I don't think we actually said hi or anything. I think I saw you, and I got pulled away to do something else, but I told you that, and you were like, we should have come and said hello. I was like, man, I was going to, and I didn't get a chance. So how many years have you been dispatching or in, like, public safety to begin? I mean, just all around.
I was growing up. I grew up with not a law enforcement family, but a general public safety family. Mm-hmm. My father was a volunteer fireman. He was a reserve police officer when I was very young. And so there's a lot of family that goes back with maybe not blood family, but actual, like, real-life true family friends. And you know, a small town, so you pretty much know everybody. So I kind of grew up a little bit in the life, not knowing what dispatch was. I mean, I think maybe when I was about 10 or 11, I accidentally called.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know. So I can remember. And when I started, I started with the lady that called me back.
What?
So, yeah.
How do you know that?
Her voice was super familiar.
Oh, man. So did you have that conversation? Did you say, you know, when I was 11, I called and it was you?
I probably did, but I don't remember what she said, or, you know, it's one of those, how many, you know, hang up calls or calls have you ever called back that you don't remember what happened with them?
You know what's funny is that's that you have a story like that, because so one of our one of the officers that we worked with, which I think he still works there, Officer Reyes, and when I was 15 or so, I was leaving out of the Saugatuck Douglas area like a bat out of hell, and in my Camaro, I was going home because my grandmother was sick, so I had left early from work, but there was this side road that was only 25, and I always slowed down because there was always somebody sitting there. This time I didn't. He pulled me over. He gave me a ticket. He actually gave me a break, and it was only 5 over because I was like 15 over. So he hooked me up. Yep. However, when I got home, my dad handed me my ass. So then years later, I'm in training, and I don't think you... I might have been on my shadow phase, because I think I remember that day you were sitting on radios and I was sitting on lean, and I ended up getting a call from him. Actually, I sent him a message first to his terminal, and I said, "Hey, man," I said, "I just want you to know this. I said, I remember you from when I was a teenager. I said, you used to come in, you know, when you worked on nights." And he goes, "Oh, that was a long, long time ago." I was like, "Yeah, it was a long time ago." And I said, "I remember you coming in to check on us there at the Lakeshore convenience store." I said, "But," I said, "about a year or so later," I said, "you gave me a ticket." And I said, "My dad handed me my ass." I said, "It was so crazy." And he called me up right after I sent him that message. And he goes, "Man, I am so sorry that I got you in trouble all those years later." I said, "Dude, you were doing your job."
Right.
You know, I didn't tell you because I wanted you to feel like a dick. I'm telling you because... It was just funny that, you know, years later, here I am working in dispatch, and you and I are working together now. So same thing, you know, you end up working together and stuff. So when you got into dispatch, you weren't completely green. So you had an idea of what it was like.
Right. Yep, I did. I actually started very young. I believe I got my application when I was only 17. So I couldn't even turn it in until I had my birthday. So I held on to it for just a little bit, maybe 3 or 4 months. I had the application because I knew I couldn't turn it in. So I started very, very, very young in 2000, January of 2000, and I was only 18 at the time. So I don't know what they were thinking sometimes, but, you know.
Yeah.
20 years later, I just celebrated my 20th anniversary this year in January. So
damn,
it's a long time.
See, and I'm like 18 going on 19, because we pretty much started around the same time. I started at the end of 2001, but in Florida.
Right.
And then moved back, and then we had that revelation that we knew each other.
Right.
and that we would end up there. Because so for those who are listening, you know, we grew up together. We were kids, and like she said, in the small town, everybody knew each other and stuff. And we played in band together.
Yes,
I was a band geek. Alto
Me
sax.
Too. Me
Woo!
Too. Alto sax.
Hell yeah! So you know, we knew everybody, and being in a small town like that, you know, you end up finding out information about family or friends, especially if they call in from that side. And then, you know, years later, we end up working together and stuff, and working on the same team and such, and taking calls from that side that we grew up in, where, you know, you end up thinking, I know that person, you know, how do you deal with it? You know, when, because as a training coordinator now, you're not on phones all the time, right?
Yep.
Or anything like that. You're doing training protocols, all that types of stuff. So when you were still on the line and you would take calls from people that you knew, how would you deal with that? Like, how hard was that?
Sometimes it depended on the situation. being, again, from a small town, and we dispatch for the same town and in the broader county area. So it kind of mixed it up a little bit. But I think on the phone, I've maybe only told people, like, in an actual emergency when I knew who they were and they knew who I was. And I was able to use my name as an attention getter, as a, it's okay, I'm here with you. And,
right.
And I don't usually advertise what I do.
Right.
It just makes it easier for me. I kind of just separate that life, those two lives from each other, I guess. So that to me is, I separated very well, I think. I have a good support system at home. So, and my mom still lived in the same town, you know, that I grew up in. So she would hear stuff. It was really good because she's never asked what someone, you know, so-and-so is doing or what they had done wrong. And
right.
It's very good to have that, where if I needed to talk about it, I could, but I didn't necessarily have to. But there have been the times where I've been in stores and I've avoided people because I just don't want to have that awkward conversation with them. And so, yeah, really, I've only probably, I can probably count on my hand over the 20 years how many times I've actually said, this is Megan, hang on a second, we're getting you help. We'll get through this together. And I don't know that I've ever had anyone come back after something like that and say, that was crazy, or it's just, I don't know that they actually heard me, but it made me feel better. And I think, you know, on their end too, it made them stop and think about what was going on for a second, and knowing that I was a human and not just some voice on the phone.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the main things right there is to let them know that, for them to understand. And for sure, it probably seemed like they didn't hear you, but I bet you in the back of their mind, like, okay, I know who this is, but the situation is still going. And yeah, right. Letting them know that helped them feel more secure and safe in a way, as much as they could,
right,
with you being on the other end of the line.
Right.
Now, you had something that I don't know that out of all the people that I've talked to have had something similar to this. And so this is something rare. You were in training and you took a call that involved like a triple homicide or something, right?
Yes, I did.
So, yeah. I mean, that's early on. You're in training, and what, I can't even imagine that. I mean, what was that even like to be able to, I mean, cause you're taking the call, and is there that slight like millisecond of holy shit?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll start it out with, this was April Fool's Day, and I am literally still in training, where I'd only been there, I started the very end of January, so only a couple months, and we were like 15 minutes from the end of our shift, so not a big deal. And at the time, you just answered. If the phone rang, you answered it. If the radio went, you answered the radio. And my trainer was sitting right next to me. And at the time, we were in a very small center. So we were like elbow to elbow, you know, with each other. And I take this call, and it was from the mom of three teenagers that had been killed. And we didn't know. I mean, we knew they were dead, but we didn't know what had happened at first. And so I talked to the mom, and I can remember answering the call. And my trainer had stood up, and she was standing next to me. And I remember, like, holding the phone and almost handing it to her. And she said, no, you've got this. And I can't even tell you to this day what I said. There is no recording of it that's saved that
right.
I'm aware of. So I don't know if I did a good job. I hope I did. But there really wasn't a lot that we could do. Mom didn't want to stay really in the house, and she left. And I remember hanging up the phone, and we went, you know, with a suspicious call or a suspicious medical of some type, or possible 0900, and we weren't really sure at the time. Well, everyone gets there, and it was a secondary crime to something that happened a week before, and we didn't know it until
then. Holy cow.
So, yeah, it was rough. I had a hard time when I went home that day. It was like, did this really just happen? And for me, what happened was, The sheriff's department sergeant that was my family friend that actually, you know, said, you should go in and apply and be a dispatcher.
Mm-hmm.
He came to my house that night, and he talked to me. And that really, like, all right. But there was never a thought of, are you going to come back? Or I think they kind of took bets on me whether I was coming back or not.
Right.
In the
There's always that.
Yeah, there is. There's always that oh man, that just happened. I wonder if they're going to show back up. And for me, it was done. There was nothing I could have done any different. You always have those tallies of what bad happened to you in your career, and mine just started out really early, very, very early.
See, and I think stuff like that, it is weird as this is to say, I think it does help. You know, if you get a call like that early on, and that also helps the center in a way too overall, because then you know, is this person going to be able to continue?
Right.
Because some people would end up leaving after something like that, especially being in training.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Yeah, you definitely got to question all of that, but you stayed.
Right.
And you've been doing it for 20 years.
Right.
And you've gone on, you know, to be the training coordinator. Now taking calls like that and continuing up until the time that you switched to being the training coordinator, what was it that made you want to help continue that education for the new people that are coming in?
I can remember when I was new and when I first started and was in training, and we tend to eat our young sometimes, and it was very hard that way. And I am a very shy person. I'm pretty reserved unless you actually get to know me. And even at work, I'm choosy on how that happens, especially back then, not so much now anymore. But, you know, back then, and I remember what it was like thinking, all right, do they even like me? Do they want me to be here?
Right.
So I try to promote that with the new people and trying to bring them into dispatch their first day and have their, you know, their box and their space, and you know, you're gonna be with me. And I try to promote that part of the side of the family side of dispatch. I mean, that for me is a huge thing. We all know each other. We sit with each other for 12, 15, you know, 16 hours a day,
right.
And you have to have that backup of someone knowing what is happening to you, what is going on every single day that you are going to come back to tomorrow and in 2 days and in 6 months. And
exactly. And I have to thank you personally, because I remember when I was in training, the training at that time was the same way. And I thought the same thing. Do these people like me, or what is going on here? Because not one person is talking to me. If we're supposed to work as a team, why are we not working as a team? How come I'm just with one trainer, which I understand, but how come I'm not learning how to communicate with everyone first? And I remember going home a few times and telling my wife, I don't know that I'm going to be able to do this. I said, I don't think these people really dig me there, and I don't want to be working with people who can't trust me, you know, or my abilities. And I remember as I was getting close, I asked you about it, and you said, stick with it. This is the way it is, and it'll be better. It's just in these first few phases, you need to be with that person to focus as much as you can. See, I didn't understand it at first, so if it wasn't for you, I might have split.
Aw, I didn't know that.
Well, now you do. But, yeah, I continued on, and it was when we got to that fourth phase that then we were all working as a team, because
right.
you build up all those skills. But in the beginning, I had no idea.
Right.
Because I thought, man, these guys must think I suck or something. I don't know what's going on. But it all worked out. Here we are.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've had all this time, and you've been working, and you've been doing everything. What keeps you going to continue doing the type of, I mean, the training? We're here at this conference. You're learning more things. Just everything. What keeps you going with public safety and dispatch?
Man, I love the job. I know that sounds really cliche, but I love the adrenaline. I love the, you know, when you go home at the end of the day that it was a good day, that you
right.
did what you could do. It might have not have worked out, but you were there. You were holding someone's hand, so to speak, on the other side of the phone, and knowing that that's one point of someone's life, and hopefully it went okay. And if it didn't, there is not much else you could do. You put yourself all out there all the time. And so for me to bring it back, I don't need the recognition. I don't need that kind of thing for me to know that what I did today was helping someone else. And
right.
my position now as the training coordinator is just a little bit different variation of that. Is I get to hire people and bring them on, and they're my little babies when they first start. I mean, they start with me, and I try to be very you know, understanding and do everything I possibly can. And so I don't answer the phone as much, except for when it's going crazy and I have to run in the other room.
Right.
So I do try to help out, you know, there, because I can definitely still do the job and I do jump in and help whenever they need me to. But I like being able to take someone brand new that may or may not have any type of experience, not even knowing what they're getting into, this crazy life that we call 911.
Right.
And in making them come back every single day. So I enjoy that part of it.
Well, damn, I could not have said that better myself. Holy shit. That's amazing. I mean, just your time, your effort, everything that you put into this job. And like you were saying before, you know, we are in the position where, you know, we're with the people that we work with way more than we are with our family. And going into that, you know, we had a lot of crazy times in dispatch, because we worked midnight shift, dispatch, yeah. Zombie squad.
Yep.
And it was always you and I and a former coworker, Lex, and sometimes Trista. And we would always be in there doing what we had to do, and sometimes in the worst possible scenarios.
Right.
You know, a couple times with shots fired where we're like, holy hell, this is actually happening right now.
Right.
And then, you know, because you and her have family members that are in, you know, public safety as well, then when you're working at the same time, it's like, okay, they're going through this. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I remember thinking, though, sometimes, how do I comfort them? How do I, you know, remain it to be, make it cool still, you know, be fine, that is, because emotions are high, you
right.
know, but,
right.
you know, the way you guys put it to me was, we have enough trust in their ability and what they do and the people who are there with them and what we're doing,
right.
that it's fine. And I never thought about it like that before until you guys had said it, because I had always wondered, and I'd always wanted to ask, what is that like for you? And I remember I finally did, and that's what you guys had said, and it makes perfect sense. But we've had other times in dispatch as well where a fire alarm has gone off because somebody was cooking something. And yeah, and but the point, though, wasn't that we're shitty cooks. It was the fact that we also have a job. So one person has to run to start cooking for whatever, but then they have to run back, and then we run the, you know, possibility yeah. of that fire alarm going
right,
off.
Right.
But there was one time that I remember specifically where we were all on one side of the room because we were looking over some forms or something that had come in. And I remember we heard some wrestling going on. And it was over by my console. And I thought, what the hell is that? I was like, did you guys hear that? I was like, yeah, what is it? So I remember going over there, and in my trash can, in my wastebasket, a mouse had somehow gone into that trash can, and it ran. It hauled ass. And I remember you, Meg, went over to help me out to try to get it, and it's climbing the wall. Now, our wall, the walls, it wasn't like wallpaper. It was almost like carpet,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was like a
the
carpet
sound
type.
Reducing, I don't right. know what you call it, but yeah, it was like a fabric of some type.
Yes, and it was climbing, and it was hanging by like one paw almost, like Sylvester Stallone in Cliffhanger.
Yeah, yep.
And I just dated myself. That's an old, early 90s movie? Anyway, it's a good movie. It was just hanging there, and you and I trying to get it back into a wastebasket to take it out. And I remember hearing her say, did you guys get it? Did you guys get it? And we turn around, and she was standing on top of one of the consoles. And I remember us saying, how the hell did you do that? And we didn't even hear you. You know, I don't remember.
No.
She was just standing there.
On the floor and then on top of the console all within, like, a second. And you
know, yeah.
Nope, that was not. And we knew, like, between the two of us that mouse was not allowed to stay in there. It had to go out, but we needed to get it outside.
Right. and we ended up catching it, and we walked with it. Like, I think you put a magazine. I had the trash
yeah.
can. You had a magazine.
Yep.
And we cupped it in there and took it outside.
Yep.
But it ended up getting in again.
I'm sure it did.
The next, yeah, it was like a day later or something. It ended up coming back in,
yeah.
and they finally got it out, and it stayed out. But,
yep.
man, yeah, there were times like that on midnight shift when, surprisingly enough, there was nothing going on.
Yep.
And we're trying to stay awake. Well, that definitely kept us awake. And it definitely kept Lex awake, too.
Yeah, no. We did a lot of music. We did, I mean, that was for me, one of the best things is you would have your Mac sitting out and we would hang up a call and you would play like the appropriate music for that call.
Right.
And we did a lot of that. I mean, totally appropriate, obviously.
Of course.
But there's so much in between time that you have at times, especially it seems to be middle of the night, early in the morning shift, that you're trying to fill it with something. And it made us stronger as a team, having something that we all had in common that we could laugh about all the time.
And heck yeah.
It didn't have to be serious, and we got along well as a trio too. So that worked out really well, that we genuinely liked each other and we had those backgrounds of we liked music and we liked movies and we could talk movies.
That's right. I know the way you look at me. yes, because I would get them to watch horror movies that I would say they're not that bad, and then they would have nightmares.
They're terrible. They were so bad. I still to this day am traumatized by some of the movies that I'm still scared of my own shadow at sometimes.
That one I Am Legend scene.
Yep.
That's the one.
Yeah. No.
As you can't see her, but she's like doing a shimmy over here. The chills.
No.
But no, you're right. That was an excellent time, because especially during winter in Michigan, wintertime, midnights, when there's a blizzard going on, no one is out. Luckily, thank the Lord that no one is out. Maybe one or two fools are out there
trying
to brave the storm for whatever reason. But otherwise, nobody would be out there.
Right.
There'd be no calls going on. And it would be us in there trying to stay awake, throwing out music trivia or doing 80s songs, or, you know, singing along, just... It was fun.
Right.
And it was definitely a team building experience.
Yes.
So it was good. Going into the wrap up of this episode, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to at this conference? I mean, I know that there's a lot of sessions that you've got going on. What are some of the things that you're looking for that you might be taking back as a training coordinator over in Allegan? Thank you again very much for being on this episode. I'm glad that we finally had a chance to do this. And thank you for everything from the beginning. Thank you so much.
Thank you for what you do.
Oh, man, you make me cry.
Man, girl.
For those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's going to be @91podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/WithinTheTrenchesPodcast. This episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. And again, a big thanks out to the IAEB and Navigator for hosting the podcast again here at Navigator 2019. And this episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.